Welcome back to Ladies with Gumption, episode 190, Supercharged. We are the Ladies with Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash. I am May, and I'm here with
Tatiana
and Jessica.
You can always reach us at ladieswgumption@gmail.com. You can follow our live tweets on Twitter at DCTVGumption. Talk to us
if
over
at Tumblr. Nice.
If you're nice, yes. Oh, there has been some shady nice. People and, you know, the racist.
Y'all stressing me out.
Over on Tumblr, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. All our podcasts are on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and so many more wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a Patreon if you wish to support us for $10 a month, where we talk about anything and everything, including all the MCU stuff, HBO Max Premium. We've recently done The Batman. We've recently done Bridgerton. We've recently done Turning Red and Encanto, and we're geared up to do a lot more in the coming weeks, including The Boys, possibly Umbrella Academy, and much, much more. And if you do have any requests, you can let us know what you would like us to watch, or if you're into something that we have already seen, we would love to cover that for you. So we're on patreon.com/DCTVGumption. Over in the news, Johnny Depp, Amber Heard trial results resulted in Johnny Depp having a win for his defamation case against Amber Heard. I think she received something, and I can't remember what it was, but he basically...
He got $10 million. She got, like, one or two or something like that?
Yeah, she got $2 million, yeah. He got $10 million, she got $2 million, which is like, okay.
Yeah, but it was just a terrible thing in general, because, you know, now we have other abusers coming out and being like, hey, you can't say this to me about me in public. And so they're also suing the women in certain instances. So sucks all around.
I think she even, because she had like an interview with the Today Show, and there was something she said that I think that I had been thinking about like all the time, like no matter if you don't like either of them, the way that this has played out with social media, there's just no way, like, objectively.
Right. No matter it's not fair.
It's not objectively. It wasn't really a fair trial in the way that social media plays so heavily into the jury. They weren't sequestered. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw,
and
like,
it was like everything on TikTok.
Like, Sandra was talking about, like, her crocodile tears. I know you saw that on TikTok. I know you did. I was not even trying to look at it. And, like, YouTube and TikTok, everything was just being, like, suggested to me. Like, I'm not going through and clicking on Amber Heard or Johnny Depp stuff, but it's still being brought to my eyes.
So yeah. Right, and if you're a juror on that trial, of course, like, it's going to be even more targeted at you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then the social pressure, too, just be like, oh, you have all of this stuff, people doing campaigns, and you're the juror that says yes or no in one situation, like, there's so much pressure, more pressure on you, because of social media. So it's just yeah.
And I think it's really interesting too, because, you know, on one hand, they're both two, like, this is not, for lack of a better word, a normal situation, because, like, these are two celebrities, obviously, who have money and power in different ways, and so it's not like your run-of-the-mill case per se. But you're right, like, there was and I've read a lot of articles about, like, how Amber Heard doesn't have to be, like, the perfect victim for you to understand what's going on. And I feel like people using the fact that they dislike her as a person or what have you, or liking just Johnny Depp more because he's Johnny Depp, affected, you know, how people perceive her and this whole case and stuff. And I don't know. It was just a very odd few weeks in terms of, like, how the media and people kind of, like, monetize the situation and turn it into, like, this very spectacle thing, you know? And then, of course, we have Ezra Miller allegedly kidnapped a young girl and held her hostage. And then they had a restraining order, right, against them?
Well, no, because, like, I feel like this is two separate things. Because there's one, like, there's a girl, I think she's 17 now, but, she's, like, I can't remember her tribe name, from the Sioux Nation, I think, that is, like, apparently living with him, and her family has, you know, like, put out an alert that he's been, like, kind of, or they've been kind of, like, manipulating her, and she doesn't have access to her phone, and then she's like, no, that's not true, and so it's just, like, that was, like, one thing, and then I feel like I saw this article earlier.
Yes, and I another feel like child.
With another child, yeah.
Who is 12 now. 12 yes. now. And they yeah. were also filing a protective order against him, along with the, against them, against Ezra, with their mother and the neighbor that was there at the time. Right. Yeah.
I don't know how someone can spiral so destructively, so rapidly, when they're supposed to be the leading, like, lead of, like, a what could be, like, a huge franchise. I mean, this is quite dramatic.
Yeah, very, very much. And, it, like, for years, they were set up to kind of be the next big thing. Because I remember they were in a lot of great indie films that received acclaim, and it's just been interesting. I was trying to read Vulture wrote a whole
thing. Adam Driver, about, whatever.
Like, yeah, the timeline of what happened really in this Ezra Miller spiral.
Right. And there's been, like, been quiet for years up mm-hmm. until that, like, was it Iceland incident? Like, that was, like, the first right. sign that there was something first, wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that happened. But in lighter news, we do have our fave Carlos Valdez, who scored a lead in a musical romantic comedy opposite Mae Whitman for Hulu, and it's called Up Here. So we're excited to see him be a romantic lead and sing. So that's really nice. And the new trailer for Black Adam and character posters were released. I actually haven't seen the trailer, but what are your ladies' thoughts on that?
I feel like it's... you know, it feels very grand in, like, the scheme of, like, the world, but it also feels, like, low-key comedic just because it's Dwayne Johnson and some of the things, because I think, like, at one point, like, this group of thugs or whatever try to hit him, and of course, the crowbar doesn't bend because, you know, he's, like, a moral or whatever. So there are some, like, funny-ish kind of moments in it, so it's I'm not really sure if it's supposed to be a drama, action drama versus like a comedy or whatever. So I'm not sure what kind of tone they're trying to hit with it. But I mean, you know, it's interesting. I think the character posters look really good. So.
Yeah, I've seen some of those. They look awesome. Tati, any thoughts on the Black Adam trailer?
No, I actually have not seen it. I have read lots of quotes about it, but I did not actively see it with my eyeballs.
Yeah,
however, sure. I'm excited for the concept of Black Adam, and they sound like, it sounds like a lot is riding on it for them. Like, they really think that this can be, like, the new direction of DC, so.
Yeah. So I think, see. I mean, I'm sure people will flock to theaters because it's Dwayne Johnson, and exactly. they're going to want to see that. But I guess we'll have to see about whether it's, like, actually good or not. So I'm hoping for the best.
I mean, what else? DC needs a win.
Yes, they really do. They really do. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, this is just chaotic energy because Joker 2 is a thing, and it's a musical.
Oh, yes. Oh God. And I cannot believe Lady that's
Gaga isn't talking.
And then they're like, Lady Gaga. I'm like, what?
First of all, this friend. Should have been... This should have been a surprise when you entered the theater, and you yes. had no idea. But secondly, I think Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn in a musical movie is actually an amazing idea.
Yes.
But as yes. a sequel to the Joaquin Phoenix Joker film by Todd Phillips, I'm like, how did we get here? So that's going to be super weird.
It's a very odd turn of events. And then, I saw... this tweet, it was like, Joker 2 as a musical is literally the most chaotic decision any movie studio has ever made. Everyone's excited for a sequel is mad. Everyone that thought the sequel was unnecessary is not excited. Pure chaos. You love to see it.
It's so true. And it's so fascinating because I feel like it would be really interesting, I guess, if this all took place inside his mind or something.
Oh, yeah.
To justify it being a musical. But, you know, who knows? The script has been written, apparently. Right. So
might it not be better if it is real and he thinks it's happening in his mind? It's the reverse of last movie.
Yeah, also great. So we'll see how that shakes out. It'll certainly, I mean, this sounds more interesting to me than the first one. So.
Yeah, someone also, like, I have to say this because there is, like, a lot of great, like, tweets and memes about this. But There's another tweet by @Targ_Nation. It's like, it's so funny that The Joker was the movie for straight men, and now the sequel is a musical starring Lady Gaga. It's like, this is the biggest gasification in cinematic history. Yes.
Someone that is like true. The Lady Gaga quote from House of Gucci, and they're like, father, son, and House of Gotham? So it'll be a good time if nothing else. Finally, we do have Batman Azteca Choque de Imperios is in works for HBO Max Latin America. So that's really interesting.
The concept art is really cool too. So, and it looks like it's not Bruce, you know, if he was in like this like culture. It's like a original character taking on, I think there is an ancient god that is a bat or something like that. And so it kind of takes what it is.
Also
kind of
not like, the one that in Titans, Dick Grayson was like, let me take that name.
Yeah, so lots of DC news, and we'll, you know, I'm surely cover most of these things when they do come out. In the meantime, we're going to get into our episode about two episodes of The Flash. Of course, our format is Joy, No Joy, and Feedback, as well as Crowning the Lady with Gumption of the Week. And to take it away is beautiful Jessica for both sides.
Okay, so side A, calling it Fast Track, even though it's not about Fast Track. Well, mostly, you know. Okay, anyways, so previously on The Flash, there was a newscaster meta in town saving people before The Flash is able to get there. But can they really be a hero if they're also the cause of the situation? Barry goes off the grid to find out. And part of that is making sure that this new speedster, you know, because we've seen this before where someone is saving people and it's like not Barry. So he goes to Leanne to make sure that Eobard Thawne is exactly where he left him. And he is. And so Barry's like, well, who is this other person? And so he pushes Eobard for answers that Eobard really doesn't want to give because he's lonely and he hasn't talked to anybody in like forever. So he's like, I'm just going to like not talk to you and keep you here as long as possible to waste your time and to amuse myself. Meanwhile, Allegra finally puts on her big girl pants and goes back to work at the Citizen. But the Citizen will have you believe that she's been there all the time because, you know, she's like, oh, yes, I signed this and I did that. So like, okay, girl. Anyways, Taylor is continuing to push Allegra on doing this expose of the Flash's mysterious Lightmana sidekick, which we know is Allegra. So Allegra's like, I don't want to do that. And Taylor's like, well, Iris would do that. And Allegra's like, well, you can ask her when she's back, which we also know that Iris is not back anytime soon. So instead of doing that story, Allegra meets up with her friend Lydia. Her friend and previous cellmate comes to her and tells her that their old girl gang is under new and dangerous management of Sunshine and Dr. Hoshi. So Allegra convinces Lydia to do an interview at the Central City Citizen CC Media to expose the group and bring them into the light so that they can stop blackmailing her and all of the girls that are trapped in this gang can finally be free. And when she's doing this, she pulls in Iris's employees without telling them about her personal connections to the story and why she knows so much about this criminal enterprise. So when Sunshine and Dr. Hoshi get word that Lydia is about to snitch, they put out a hit on her and go after her themselves. They trap everyone in the Citizen, and the employees that are there are like, oh my God, why is this happening? And Taylor exposes to the group that Allegra is a former gang member and they don't trust her. And Allegra, her secrets is exposed. So now she's like, I don't know what to do. I should have never been a leader. So now like it's up to her to prove to Iris's employees that she can be the leader and shine a light on the truth, which of course she does. I feel like something happened with Caitlin, but I don't. Oh, was this when?
Barry destroyed her lab.
Yes. Barry destroyed her lab.
Oh, Barry destroyed her lab.
Oh, no, wait.
It's in the previous one. Yes, that's it.
It was the previous
one. But I feel like something happened here.
I think it was just like she was like, I'm at my mom's for real this time. Yeah.
There's like and it was like an afterthought of a scene, but she calls the lab and is like, you know, I know I lied and said I was with my mom last time, but I'm actually with my mom this time. And maybe I'm coming back, maybe I'm not coming back, but I just need some time away. And sad face. Danielle Panabaker directed the episode written by Kristen Kim and Emily Polizzi. What sparked Joy?
Well, it sparked joy that I remembered that this episode existed as you were describing it, because I thought that we were only talking about one episode, because the episode of Flash just flowed away from me nowadays. But I will say, if I divorce myself from the thought of how this should be Iris' storyline, and it is actually ludicrous that it is not, I thought the storyline of exposing this gang so that the girls can be free, and, like, standing up to them, not with your powers, but with your voice, or whatever, was a good storyline. So that was nice of them to finally do that without Iris. But other than that, I did enjoy the scenes with Eobard. The way that you described him as petulantly trying to keep Barry there because he's bored and he doesn't have anyone is like, you know, it's a fun new Eobard, kind of. So that back and forth was enjoyable. And I like the idea, like, I like meeting Fast Track. Like, I think it's cool that Mina is here, especially because she's not being presented in a way, which obviously we can talk about next in part two, or per B, she's not being presented in a way that is, like, a love interest for Barry. So just as a character on her own, as an addition to the universe, that is interesting, and I like what the actress is bringing, and, you know, just her energy is good. What else? I think the resolution with Taylor was
corny.
Not what I expected. So good job. They surprised me. I did not expect Taylor to get involved in the whole shenanigan thing. And so I guess it's kind of fun that Allegra has some people that know her secret identity. It's a struggle. I'm struggling to think of other good things. But yeah.
Just let go. Let go and let go.
Let go and let God. So there you go. That on that.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. I tried.
I agree. I mean, objectively, like, I guess if we think about Allegra's story from where she started with her gang and her being in prison and now being a reporter and trying to protect somebody who she knows from said gang is really interesting, and also bringing back, like, Sunshine and her name.
She.
Thank you. So that was, like, really, you know, continuity is nice. And so, like, I think she generally handled the situation well, even though she has been out and about at Star Labs doing whatever and not really being a editor-in-chief or temporary editor-in-chief. So, you know, good on her for, like, standing up and doing what's right and actually bringing the team together versus, like, alienating them, because she's done that for a long time, which is why Taylor didn't really like her. I'll talk about that later. That's a negative. I do also like, I always like the back and forth between Barry and Dawn, because I always think that that's really fascinating. Like, there's these two characters that truly just piss each other off, get on each other's nerves. They just want to, like, beat each other up every time they see each other. And I think that that tension is really fascinating. I also thought about who feeds Dawn in that prison, because it doesn't seem like anybody's there. But
it's not back in there either. But
yeah, so I'm like, who operates this place? but that's always interesting. And I think that now that I know that
Star Labs, the prisons and Star Labs all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Now that I know Matt Letcher's back as Reverse Flash, also, I'm less salty about seeing Tom as Reverse Flash. So those scenes were good. And I think just in general, the CCC media stuff, like, were the scenes that were properly building tension. I don't really remember what was happening elsewhere, but, like, it was felt like an episode that was properly leading somewhere. And, you know, the whole trapped in one place thing is always great, because it makes all the characters have to rely on themselves and specific resources that they have at hand. So that stuff was interesting.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you about now seeing that Matt Letcher is back as Eobard. You can swallow more of Kavanaugh as Eobard as well in the same universe space existing. I liked the introduction of Fast Tracked. I like the actress because I was watching the 4400 as well, and she was on there. And oh, she's
I
really good.
I forgot about her. I agree. Yes. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's on the 4400. And so seeing her here as well as Mina was a really pleasant surprise. And I think I agree that it's interesting the way that they have introduced her with the fact that she was stealing, like, she stole her own batteries. So she stole from Fast Track. So she's not really, like, a bad guy that we are introduced to. And the whole idea of her kind of being a season one Barry, in a sense, more on her own, and that, you know, she's trying to figure out these powers on her own, I think is really interesting. I feel like I'm going to be a broken record because I will say, like, if I separate my feelings about Iris's disappearance and the lack of her from this storyline, I do agree that it is objectively good character development for Allegra in terms of where she started as a cub reporter with Iris, to Iris giving her that editor and staff position that we didn't really think that she deserved, and neither did the rest of the staff, to actually having like a conflict where she needed to step up. And I know, like, for a long time you were like, you know, you are right, you are not fit to lead right now because you're never there at CC Media. But I think the way that they resolved it with her and also, like, building that trust bond between her and the other employees, it makes it a little bit easier to digest or to believe that Iris put her faith in the right person to lead this empire while she's away, and that she's someone that's actually doing that. I also think that one of the things that is nice about the episodes in general that I think has been a pet peeve of mine for a long time is it feels like we are getting more frequent callbacks to previous villains, and then we'll talk about in the next episode even other characters outside of the Arrowverse. I feel like there's a little bit more of a universe in bringing different people in and different villains back. I was so surprised when Sunshine and Dr. Hoshi's like, oh my god, it's like they're like the Bad Girls Club, and it's like I didn't expect to see you. So I think like more of that is really interesting, and because you have this whole roster of villains, just like, come on, use more of them. They're not just like one episode, one off. They can come back and come in for different stories. So I think having that helps build out the comic world a little bit more. But what did not spark joy?
Well, the fact that Iris is not present at all for what is essentially the biggest storyline and story in universe for CCC yeah. Media was just ludicrous. And that there is no rearranging the situation in order, like, for people to be actively worried about where Iris is. Like, basically, her staff and the coworkers are just like, oh, well, she's not here, whatever.
Like, where do you think your boss, like, your boss has disappeared.
Right.
For, like, 2 weeks now, and you're just like, oh, she's somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. And, like, Taylor was there when she disappeared. So, like, what right. did she think that Iris went to go do? It just doesn't make sense. And it just shows, like, a complete lack of interest in Iris's story or in Iris as a person from the showrunners, the writer's room. Like, I just don't understand how they could ask anyone to care about the storyline when they clearly do not care about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, simultaneously, it makes us not want to care about the other storylines because they're telling us not to care about what should be the biggest one right now. So, yeah, that was annoying. And then also, like, there was just too much, like, if I'm gonna get, like, nitpicky about the plot itself, like, going back and forth with, like, what they're gonna do when the villains are, like, right outside and they're, like, fighting with each other. And I'm like, I don't know you guys enough to care about this little squabble that you are having when we could literally die if y'all don't shut up. So that part was, like, a little bit like, all right, sure, whatever. Just, let me see what else. I feel like, I just feel like there's, they could always be doing more than what they are doing. Like, the fact that we have Eobard here, which is cool, and, like, he's fun and whatever, but, like, they could be building up to more with him, given that we have him. Which is just the same thing as, like, when they did have Iris, even if, well, for whatever reason, they don't have her for these four episodes, why weren't they doing this plot then? There are plots that they did when Iris was around that they could be doing now, and it wouldn't change anything. Like, mm-hmm. the entire Caitlin and Frost arc could be happening right now instead of then. Although I guess maybe Panagir is having a baby and that's why she's only in one scene an episode. But they are putting her in a scene, which again, why do we need a scene for Caitlin to be like, I am mad that you destroy my things, so I'm at my mom's. And the next week, I am still at my mom's. Just as an update, in case anyone was wondering. No one is wondering! So anyway, overall, I just was annoyed me. I was annoyed witnessing the episode because I felt like they were just giving away material that could have gone to Iris and then also not doing anything interesting with the rest of the material that they have.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. No, Iris is always upsetting. And I think it's what's really frustrating, too, is the fact that, like, everyone always talks about Iris being, and by everyone, I mean Eric Wallace, always talking about Iris having agency, and this goes to, like, you know, general fanboys and people who don't understand women, of her having, like, agency, of her needing to, like, save herself, of her blah, 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 but she can't have agency if you're, she's not even on screen to do that. I don't understand why she has to save herself when there's, like, a bajillion people running around doing absolutely nothing. And it's just, like, frustrating because I feel like the Still Force stuff could still be really interesting. Like, what is Iris doing in the Still Force? Is she reliving, you know, shit over and over again? Like, that could be a nightmare. She could be physically fine, but mentally she might not be okay. And so I just feel like it's a missed opportunity. And at this point, I feel like a broken record. But it is a missed opportunity to not showcase her there. And to also, like, this episode went and no one even mentioned her. And it's like, Barry, do you even have a wife? Like, this is not even the man that I know for the past 8 seasons. It's like, he doesn't care. He's not there. He doesn't ask about her. He's not, like, sitting there worried. He's like, oh, Caitlin hasn't called me back. I was like, I don't care. She hasn't called you back. You're the one who decided to blow up her lab. That's not, it should not be your problem right now. You know
that conversation with Joe was so annoying that it was about, like, Caitlin and not about, like, you know, the wife and daughter that are is that you both are missing right now and just don't care about.
Yeah, and
it's just, that I Caitlin don't... is mad because you destroyed her life.
Like, Caitlin will be okay, you know, and it's not even, like, the most pressing thing right now. And so it's just, and it's not just, like, Barry, it's literally everybody. Allegra, like, this is your boss. This is supposedly also your friend, your mentor, somebody you say you care about. And yet, like, no one cares. Not even of what would Iris do? What's Iris been up to? Like, Iris could have just disappeared forever. She could have died. And no one would have been, you know, doing anything about it. So it's just, like, really annoying. And also the fact that, like, all this time we got promises of having Iris the journalist, and all of her journalistic development for the most part has been off screen, but Allegra gets what she should have had. And it's just, I feel like a gut punch, you know?
I feel like that's the biggest thing for me. This is the first time in a while that we have a CC Media A plot and Iris is not in it. And this is, like, if you're doing, like, a separation of Church and State, Star Labs, CC Media, Barry, Iris. First of all, Allegra is Iris's employee and should be on Iris's storylines anyway. Second of all, if this was, like, a Barry situation, he would be, like, and he's not even there he's, like, off on his own world. But if it was, like, if it was Barry would be there and, you know, or be, like, present somewhere in the storyline pushing Allegra to do what she's supposed to be doing. And we don't really get, like, Allegra has spent more time with Iris's employees on screen than Iris has. And I feel like that's been an issue. And if we had Central City Media as a running undercurrent the entire season, because we got introduced to her employees in the beginning of the season, if we had seen little bits and pieces of that, like little, like Supergirl moments where, you know, so they have to go to the office at some point, they have to do morning meetings, they have to like do all this kind of stuff. If we had seen little undercurrents of that, her not being here would probably hurt as less than the fact that we hardly ever get CC media when Iris is there. And the one time that she's not there, we get all the CC media. And the whole idea, like the fact that Iris has not had time to have connections or stories on screen with her employees. And then here you have a storyline of Allegra essentially replacing Iris as a leader storyline for Allegra with Allegra's with Iris's employees. So now at the end when they all, like, of course it's the story is gearing up to Allegra saying like, I can be a leader, I can do this. That's just the way that the story is building. But at the end you have them calling her boss, which again, if we had seen CC media and them interacting with Iris and her being the boss and all this kind of stuff, and this is one situation where Iris was out and they're like, okay, we acknowledge you in Iris's absence, blah, blah, blah. One thing, but that's not what we're getting. And I feel like that is what makes it so much more frustrating and unable to fully enjoy what is a good story for Allegra because of the mismanagement of how the writers have been writing Iris and her disappearance. And I agree with you, the fact that no one really cares about the urgency of what's going on is very weird. It's really kind of, and I will say this, and this kind of like blends into the next episode as well, but it's like a general take. I feel very strongly that right now, these four episodes, we're going into a soft launch of a new permanent Team Flash that is Chester, Allegra, and Cecile, and Barry is the only original Team Flash member left. We already know Joe is leaving. Iris has been absent for four episodes and no one mentions her at all, and she's not involved even in indirectly in the storytelling at all. Caitlin is there, but every episode I forget Caitlin is a thing.
And so she shows up.
She shows up in the last in the last scene. And sure, she gets a scene, you know, and that's just partly because of my bias that I'm more concerned about Iris. And obviously, I think because Iris is part of what is supposed to be like a big story that I think general public is generally concerned about, like, where is that going? But, you know, and Caitlin does, even though she's not in the majority of the episode, she does get that little scene at the end, like the little check-in of like, how am I doing now? But the goodbye message she left in, or the see you, you know, I need some time, I need a break message she left could easily be a setup for her to not return. Like, I don't think that they would end it in a way that she doesn't, she and Barry don't like come to terms and end on a good note. But does she need to come back? No. She's with her mom right now. She could get a job with her mom. She could find something new. It would be like a final step for her to move on in her life. Whether what happens in the next episode changes that or not, I don't know. But it is set up that there's already no Jesse L. Martin coming back. There could be no Danielle. There could be no Candace. And the people that you're seeing right now for the majority of the screen time each week is going to be your main cast for season 9. And I hate it.
Yeah, and I was. And
I would not be. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying? That group is created by Eric Wallace, because Allegra is Eric's character. Chester is his own, his original character. And Cecile might as well be, because she was only supposed to have powers temporarily, and I think he made them permanent when he became showrunner. So, you know.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, even, I mean, and the team as is doesn't really even gel well with each other. Like, Barry doesn't have the same rapport with Chester and Allegra that he had with Cisco and even Caitlin, or even Iris being at the lab and Joe popping in every once in a while. And Cecile definitely doesn't belong there. It's like she's like the odd person out amongst like
Chester is new. Like, Chester has been reading scans as well as Caitlin. So there's your doctor and your Cisco. So Chester is Caitlin and Cisco rolled into one. Mm-hmm. Allegra takes over CC media, and then Cecile is Iris plus Joe rolled into one. Like, I think that is the thing they're trying to soft launch and get people's feelings on whether they like
very
it or not.
Very depressing. But I was also going to say, like, what I noticed the last several episodes, maybe since Armageddon, is, like, the music is also lacking. Like, and I noticed it only because when Mina shows up in the next episode and she's, like, a big deal or whatever, and every time she would, you know, get the negative speed force and run around, you'd hear, like, this music. And I'm just like, oh, it's there. It's finally there. And it's, like, maybe because the show is missing, like, heartwarming moments, and that's when you would hear the swell of music come on or whatever, because that's completely gone. I don't even hear it anymore, and there aren't any of those moments to even justify having it there. So that also speaks to, like, the lack of kind of cast chemistry right now, as well as the writing. So,
what did Sonya have to say about this episode?
Let me look it up.
Lashings.
Yes. Let's see.
Oh, I think it was just Sonya last week, and then we have, like, an ambassador this week.
Yeah. Sonya says, "Hey, ladies, I feel like the people in charge of promos at the CW really know what they're doing, because while most of the episode was about Allegra's storyline and very little was about the Barry and Thawne storyline, the promo made it seem like it was all about the Thawne storyline rather than this boring Allegra storyline. Speaking of that, it was nice to see her past as part of a gang come back, and that story about how she ended up in jail was so heartbreaking, but the rest of the storyline was so boring. You can tell they are really running low on budget, since the majority of Allegra's storyline took place solely in the CC Media office, and the lights were off." LMAO with Jenna starting kindergarten and then justifying not having Jenna on screen.
That was funny.
She was so prepared, except that she didn't remember that she didn't have Jenna with her. Barry being upset and it being that Caitlin isn't talking to him but never bringing up Iris is ridiculous. Like, why does Eric hate Iris and West Allen? It's interesting that Allegra's powers somehow cause her in photos to have the light around her face so she can't be identified in the photos of her, and the flash, and how conveniently lucky it is that Cecile was never in those photos, since it would be so easy to identify her. I'm sorry, but Allegra's storyline centered around CCC Media and journalism just make me angry, because she has even less journalism experience than Iris did back when she started at Picture News, since Iris had the blog and some journalism courses, and Allegra has literally nothing. But no one complains about Allegra's inexperience like they did with Iris, and also it sucks seeing her getting all the storylines in journalism that should have went to Iris seasons ago. I love that one reporter being like, let me call my babysitter so she could have her kids taken care of or whatever, and then that other reporter is like, let me go DVR the Sharks game, like, priorities. Allegra revealing her powers to everyone and letting them know she's the mystery woman who helps the Flash, so hopefully Taylor will get off her case, but Cecile is still unmasked and helping the Flash, so there may still be a story there. Also, I love how Taylor is like, it's good you revealed it to us, but what about the rest of the city? Like, please get her a mask and costume, and one for Cecile too, while we're at it. Their biggest story yet, and it had nothing to do with Iris, just upsets me. How is she ever going to win any Pulitzers if she's not part of the stories that would win? I guess the Caitlin living with Carla thing is their way of having Danielle off screen while she's pregnant and having her baby. It's a brown girl speedster, and it's Mina. Oh my God, I'm so excited to have her on the show. Can't wait to see what they do with her. It's great to have Mina on the show, Kate and Edwina on Bridgerton, and Kamala and Ms. Marvel, Daisy Pride. Anyways, just one more episode without Iris. We can do this.
Can we, Sonya?
Anita
had flashback feedback for this one, but I also have to say that it reminded me of one thing that did annoy me. It was Taylor being just like, yeah, let's just sacrifice a person.
I'm not surprised about that. But I feel like that just makes her a terrible journalist too.
Yeah, but of course they needed that for, like, the drama of the story.
And Anita did send us feedback that week also. She says, hello, ladies. Oh, how I've missed watching The Flash and talking smack in between praising Iris, Barry, and Cisco to you all. I just wanted to say that your recaps have been keeping me updated and informed. I skipped watching The Curious Case of Bartholomew Allen, but because of your recap, I realized that Barry lightning toasted Caitlin's at-home lab. That sparked major joy. Yes, Barry be extra, but Caitlin is a long-standing member of the team. The writers keep looping her into the same story. She does what's good for her. The team or the city pay the price. It backfires, and then she disappears to sulk for months while they are down a doctor. I tracked Keep It Dark via Twitter and Tumblr, and that's been tiding me over during Let Iris Be Great. Hashtag. let Iris be great. I don't have an issue with junior members of the team picking up the slack for Barry occasionally, especially if he were off in the still force trying to get Iris out. But with both leads are sidelined in their own spaces, it makes the show less entertaining. I know that Allegra had to clean up the mess that she made with Taylor, but that company belongs to Iris. This was unacceptable. I don't know if this is news. I caught a snippet of Eric's mind-boggling interview on that excuse for a podcast. You probably are too classy to talk smack about other podcasts, so I'll do it. Why is Eric wasting his time chasing a dinosaur demo that suffers from severe bias against Iris and cognitive dissonance? I suppose that is one of the few places where his word salad and determination to separate Iris from the rest of the team are celebrated. It was awful. Where was Eric's PR team to say, no, not that one, they want to behead Iris? This isn't just an Iris drought. We are watching a flash that is unrecognizable from even season 5. I agree. A major stretch. We need Iris-centric stories set in CCC media, out there connecting with the city and the citizens that Team Flash regularly defends with its life. Tie in those stories with Barry's missions. I want Petty Barry, Extra Barry, Romantic Barry, a Barry with a brain and a pulse, because that's what Iris fell in love with. Keep up the good work, ladies. But for you, I'd be out. Thank you so much.
That's sweet.
Okay. So moving in to side B, someone special. So with this new speedster in town, with Mina, Flash decides to train her, but he gets more than what he bargained for when on a run out in the forest where he's training this girl instead of like looking for his wife. He's like, yeah, I'll take on a
do you have a wife, Barry?
Right. She gets frustrated on a run and accidentally hits him with a lightning bolt that is charged with negative speed force energy, and that cancels out his speed force for a while. So he's really concerned about that. Meanwhile, Cecile, she goes to the bank to deposit a check for a job she doesn't do, and the bank is held up. And instead of getting down on the ground, her powers activate, and now it's not just her feeling people's other powers, but now she can transfer people's powers onto other people, which I feel like is reminiscent of a villain. Like, it's kind of like Rainbow Raider. Or I forget what Psycho Pirates things was, but
it is like that.
It felt very gray to me. So she's like, you know, Barry is obviously concerned about Cecile's new powers, and she's kind of like, oh my god, I have new powers. But he's even more concerned about Mina possibly having negative speed force energy, and so he goes to Fast Track Labs to see what she's working with, and surprisingly introduces himself as a friend of the Flash and not, hey, I'm Barry Allen, the Flash. When he goes to Fast Track Labs, he sees that Mina's partner and the person responsible for building the machine that made Mina into a speedster is none other than Eobard Thawne, except this Eobard Thawne has no idea who Barry is, who the Reverse Flash is, and he is in love with Mina and just wants to be a good guy. Obviously, Barry doesn't believe this, so he goes back to Leanne Yu to make sure Eobard Thawne is still where he put him. And that Thawne, Kavanaugh Thawne, is still there. And he's like, that other me isn't me. And, and so basically he's like, but if he is me, then just know that we are selfish bastards. And we will do anything for ourselves and only ourselves. So Barry's like, that is what I thought. So he runs back over to give this Thawne a piece of his mind. Meanwhile, John Diggle, hello, plot twist, comes in out of nowhere and is like, hey, Eobard, you're lonely and you don't have anything to do, so maybe you can help me with this box that I've been holding around for the past year and a half and finally tell me what it is. So Eobard's like, sure, as long as you let me see what's in there, which should have been a red flag, but, you know, John was desperate at this point. And so Eobard works his magic and cajoles John into, you know, feeling the force and opening the box. And then John is, like, exposed to all these, like, universes and worlds and voices telling him, you can be great, you can be this, you can be that. But John was like, what I really want to be is a father and a husband. So
that's the last you're not doing.
Right. Spent this whole time not being a father and a husband. And now that he's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to close this box. And Eobard's like, no, you were supposed to be someone special. You could have had it all. You could have been a contender. So he's upset. John is happy. He leaves. So he goes on his merry way. back over in Central City, Barry's like, Mina, if you get in that chamber and try and like psych yourself out one more time to get speed, the negative speed force is going to take over you and it's going to drive you crazy. And he's yelling at Thawne, and this is says Mina. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And the next piece where takes hold of her, she gets the red eyes, like Reverse Flash, and she goes evil for a bit, tries to drain the city of the power. Matt Eobard, convinces Barry that I'm really just a good guy. I have no idea who this other person is. I just love Mina, and I want her. I'm finally putting someone else ahead of himself. And so Barry's like, you know what? You are a good guy. Let me go save your girlfriend. And so they try to do that, but Mina is too strong. She gets speed force from the clouds and knocks Barry out and is about to hand dive into his chest when Eobard Thawne recycles the lightning rod love interest speech of come back to me. And she does. And so Barry's like, this is fine, you know? And we end back at Leanne U with Eobard Thawne distraught until he hears another voice that says, I've been looking for you. That box was shining too brightly, but now that it is gone, I can see you. And lo and behold, it is Dion who wants Eobard to come with him to take on his Reverse Flash destiny. And that is what you missed on The Flash. Marcus Stokes directed the episode, written by Sam Chawson. What sparked joy?
What sparked joy? I did like the idea of Eobard just like falling in love and then like post whatever happened to him in Legends, like undying, unkilling Eobard from Legends.
We had Matt Lester, we had John Diggle, we had everybody.
And also the fact that it was a cameo from Ray, who wasn't even around on Legends when it happened. He just heard about it from me. That was funny. That was cute. I'm glad that we got this kind of, like, an interesting story with, like, an alternate Eobard. Because we've always wanted, like, can we just, like, see the original Harrison Wells? And we never really got that. So, like, this is, like, us close to running into that, I guess. Alternate Eobard, who's just a nice inventor man. and I did like the effects and the way that evil Mina, negative speed force Mina, whatever you want to call her, was portrayed. It was creepy. I was properly concerned for her, even though we once again sidestepped a ultimate showdown for the sake of a heartwarming pep talk. At least I was, like, anticipating the possibility of a showdown instead of just being like, what a weird or boring or whatever villain. So I guess that's good. It sparked great joy that there was not as much Cecile as I thought there was going to be based on the episode description. And I will say that I do think that this leveling up of her powers is, like, the first and only time they've been interesting. So, like, yeah, I would rather her have these powers than just be like, wow, you seem angry. Thank you, Cecile, I know! So, anyway, her being able to manipulate the emotions and then, like, the dude being, or whoever it was, one of the villains being like, I should have been an engineer or whatever. Like, that was, I did think that was funny. I mean, I'm glad John went back to his family, but, like, they didn't have to make it that he had been neglecting them for however many years. So, like, glad how that turned out, but thanks for sharing. I don't know. I'm still, like, wondering if that, like, Green Lantern University, or not university, whatever show he was going to be doing, if that's even going to be a thing now or not. And this did not really help me understand how we're getting there. But if we're having to close the door on John being a Green Lantern, then this is probably the, like, best possible option for how to do it, based on the nothing they've given us so far. So. Anything else?
Bueller, you're asking.
Hmm?
Nothing.
What'd you say? I can't remember anything. Now I'm going blank. So I guess I have nothing else to say. All right, go.
I generally like Mina as a person. I like the actress a lot. I think she brings, like, she breathes a, you know, fresh air into the shows. Somebody who's, like, excited about their powers and ready to learn. And I thought that the dynamic between her and Matt's Reverse Flash was really interesting. Sorry, he's not Reverse Flash. He's Eobarthon. Regular old Joe. but I thought that was really interesting. Even, like, seeing the flashbacks that were actually part of developing their story was really nice. Like, I liked their first meeting. She's like, what the hell is this resume? Like, this is awful. So that was really great. And just, like, seeing Matt be on the show again, especially after they killed him off in Legends in just a terrible way. So I was glad that he's, like, back here and getting something to do versus just, like, dying. Because I feel like that was a terrible way to send him off. So I really liked their dynamic, even if there are parts of it that I did not like. But I at least, like, establishing Mina and Eobard means that nothing's been happening with Barry. Perfect. Thank you, show. and again, like, she's just, the scenes with her and Barry and training and stuff like that were really fun. The CGI was not, but, you know, whatever. What else? Just, like, the idea, not the idea, but, like, the back and forth with Barry and Thawne on Leon Yu was really interesting again, because it's, like, now, you know, Thawne doesn't really have the upper hand, because he's like, how do I exist there? And trying to figure out, like...
This reminds me of something that, like upset me when I was doing, like, last week, because I was, like, when he went to go see... Thawne, he's like, how's Frost, you know, basically saying that he knew she died. I'm like, how do you even know that? He was like, because she's from the future. And I'm like, well, if some people don't remember what they had for breakfast, like, yesterday, like, how is he keeping track of, like, all these timelines? Like, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, and
he doesn't even know that he's back.
Exactly. So, yeah, he shouldn't have known that. It's just too convenient. And it makes sense that he doesn't know, like, why this Thawne exists, because it is confusing. There's been so many... There's been so many timelines and reversals and whatnot. So it's like, yes, please explain this to me, because I too am confused. So that was appreciated, even though I'm still a little, I guess this is like reverse flash, or sorry, flashpoint Thawne in the present. So that was interesting. I guess that like 10 seconds, 5 seconds of like what looked like Frost in the alley.
I don't think that was her though, because was that the top girl?
Was it? Oh,
because I think that's her, because she's been Cecile's like adversary or whatever.
That's true. Yeah, the lack of Cecile brought joy, and even like her powers were something that was fascinating. And I'm glad we didn't need a whole episode to explain that she's leveled up, and no one used that term. So you know. We leveled up.
Small victories.
Indeed.
Yeah, I like the actress that plays Mina. And I liked a lot of her story, and kind of like, yeah, I thought it was interesting how she did like the intro. So it is kind of like a, you know, again, like a season one kind of Barry type feel. I thought it was a nice twist that she and Eobard were a thing. If I separate my personal feelings about Iris's disappearance and the lack of West Allen and their romance from the story, I liked this Eobard Mina relationship being a parallel to West Allen that the writers did not want to show the other side and make it a true parallel. But anyways, moving on from that. I like that relationship. I swear to God, I thought when she was really at her height of her negative speed force energy and he was trying to like say, but I love you, I thought she was going to kill
him. Right.
That was just going to be the end, because I think in the trailer there's like a shot of him like disintegrating into nothingness, but I don't know if that was like part of the Legends or whatever, but I thought she was going to like, you know, he's like, I love you. He's like, I don't, you know. But this was fun too, that they were like,
I had like the saddest way to go, like
a little anti-love story. I also like the tension between Barry and Matt's Eobard, when Barry's like, I know who you are, and he's like, I don't understand. I thought there was a lot of good tension and build up between, because we know Eobard is a liar, and
yeah, and he's so good. I was like, is he telling the
truth? Is he lying? Like, is he? It has he been redeemed? Like, how do you not know? Like, what? We're not falling for this. Barry has fallen for the okie doke too many times. So I think that whole build up of the tension of, is this Eobard really as amnesiac? I don't know. Not, you know, does he really have amnesia, or is he just playing possum? So I thought that was like a good thing. Again, when I was mentioning in the previous episode about bringing in more interconnectedness, it was definitely a surprise to see Diggle and that storyline coming back, because that's something that he wasn't even mentioned in anywhere in there. So I was really surprised to see him show up and have that continuation of storyline. So it wasn't something I was expecting, but it was definitely interesting. And then what else? The ending with Dion, I think I'm right. I don't think that he said it, but I think I am right. And this is Negative Speed Force Dion coming to collect Thawne to restart that. And I think he stole Iris for that purpose. And because, like, whatever she brings as far as being Barry's lightning rod, he's trying to, like, use that to jumpstart his own thing to get Thawne back. So I think that's what's happening. And that could be, I'm not gonna offend their lack of Iris, so I'm not gonna go there. No. But I like that. I like where my mind has thought of already that we're heading. And I too enjoyed that there was not as much Cecile, hardly any Cecile in this, and that when I thought there was going to be more. So that's cool. What did not spark joy?
Well, I mean, it's hard because it's like, I feel like it's all like the same things that don't spark joy, but I will say that I feel like the runaround with John, with Diggle, must have been so disappointing for people who care.
Yes.
Am I a person who cares? No. But if I cared, I would be really annoyed, because it's been like, they built it up for like 2 years, or even if they just built it up for 1 year and then they like forgot about it, then they brought it back and they went further than they ever had before to then be like, actually, no. And not only that, in doing so, they make it so that he's been like a bad father and husband during that time, which is not something that was necessary to include, because he could have just said no because he didn't want to leave his family. He could have had a nice life with his family and then just been like, actually, I don't want to leave that, instead of like, I have been trying to leave it for all this time. Now I have seen it and I don't like it. Going back home. Like, what? So yeah, that was really stupid. I do think, like, Negative Speed Force Dion is an interesting thing, which I forgot to say in the likes. Is that what you were suggesting? I don't know. So I did like that, but him showing up to get Eobard, I don't know how I feel. I don't know where that's going. I guess now I'll finally get the, like, something interesting with him, hopefully, that we have not been getting in the last few weeks. But also, I will say, just the fact that Diggle was, like, listening to Eobard at all to begin with, like, why?
Yeah.
If Eobard wants you to do something, it's, obviously...
You're at the bottom. You have hit the rock bottom.
Yeah. So that was... So just everything about that storyline was just very confusing to me. Like, why is it here? Why is it presented in this way? I don't know. But good on you for going home, Diggle. Anyway, outside of that... Cecile, I mean, I think that, like, just to your point that you were saying earlier, like, this is probably the new Team Flash, the new normal for Team Flash, and it really feels like none of them have truly distinct personality traits. Like, there isn't really a way. Chester is the one that comes closest. Chester's the one that is, like, the most distinct, but unless the storyline is about him, he just falls to the background. Like, they don't have anything for him to be doing in the background that will take focus, that it will be interesting. Like, you always knew what Sisko would say in a situation, and it would always add something to the scene, and there isn't that for Chester or for any of the characters, really. So it just feels like you have three of the same kind of character there with Barry, and no one is bringing any variety or spice to life. So that is deeply unfortunate. Mina is probably, like, the most interesting character that's been brought on recently, but even her and Abard's, like, romance was, like, kind of, like, insta-love-y in that it's not, like, obviously we don't get to build it, but they couldn't even show us.
They could have built it if we had seen it over the course of a few episodes.
Right. They could have done it, but they didn't. And even in even that, they were, like, just showing you, like some flashback montage, which the episode was, like, half flashbacks, and sometimes not even full flashback scenes, sometimes just, like, voice-over flashbacks, where you're just like, wow, I'm sitting here thinking of things people have said. Why? And if you're doing all that, why can't we get some more Iris flashbacks so that Iris can be relevant instead?
Yeah, she's not even there in the flashbacks. Like, there's no... Yeah, she's recorded stuff. She's been in scenes. Mm-hmm. We don't get to see those.
Yeah, and so... And even when Barry brought up Lightning Rod, he still did not, like, specifically say... I mean, I guess he didn't specifically say Iris, because then that would give away, quote-unquote, who he is. But, like, it's obvious who he is. So... Which also, him immediately going to Mina and being like, hey, my friend, the Flash, wants to run some tests. Like, come on, just give it up. He needs to just do the full Iron Man thing and be like, hey, guys, I am the Flash. It's me. Because we're not even trying at this point. It's ridiculous. And then, well, of course, when he, like, immediately attacks Eobard, like, I'm like, if you have even a 1% chance of doubt, like, it's possible that this man does not know, why are you telling him? My God. Try to do some investigative work on your own. So there you go. That's all. That's all I got.
Yeah, Barry loses all his brain cells when he sees Thawne. As much as I love seeing that, and I really like Mina, I think they're both great actors. They have zero chemistry. And I feel like I was not invested in them at all, also because it was just a one episode thing. But I feel like hinting at their romance and then maybe waiting a few episodes until we got, like, this big speech of come back to me, I was like, am I supposed to believe this? Because I don't really believe this at all. And I feel so bad because I really wanted to laugh. It was just a little bit painful in how everything went down, because it felt a little bit forced, because maybe they were trying to do the parallel with, you know, Barry and Iris, or just, like, bringing back the lightning rod concept to remind people, because it's going to come into play later or something. But it just, I don't know, it was just underbaked, and they could have done it a lot better, because I don't feel like we really fully got enough of either character as they are now to justify this, like, don't do this, you're the love of my life stuff. So it was just, I mean, I'm glad somebody's getting romance on the show, but it just...
And a kiss!
And a kiss. And it's just like, I guess. So that was just kind of underwhelming.
Right.
And I just don't like, with regards to, like, the new Team Flash, you're totally right, Tati, in that, like, they don't really have distinctive personalities. And I feel like a lot of the times I forget that Chester's at Star Labs until, like, he'll be like, what do we do next, boss? I'm like, right, Chester. And then when Allegra shows up, they're like, right, Allegra. And then Cecile's like, oh, she's there too. So it never feels like a cohesive team, or people who you can genuinely generate ideas outside of just, like, following Barry's lead. Because I feel like, despite our complaints in the past, it was somewhat more collaborative than what we're getting now. So it makes them feel useless sometimes if they're not actually doing something, like with Allegra and CCC Media and stuff like that. So she wasn't getting that. What exactly are they contributing? Nothing. So that's frustrating. And I just feel like I don't understand, and this has become, like, so annoying because it's increased, the flashbacks to things we know, you know, like someone's like, oh, they just want to remind you last time I tweeted about it. I was like,
things happened
in the same episode or last week. And I'm like, we got a flashback to, like, you know, Flashpoint back when, like, Matt, the last time we saw Matt. And I'm like, come on, you know who Eobard Thawne is. Why are we doing this? So it just feels very pathetic and, like, annoying to viewers who have probably seen the show from the beginning or even from season 3 or 4. Like, you know who these characters are. You don't have to constantly remind us of things, because I feel like that's just bad writing. You should, if you're going to say something in a scene, it should be like, and I don't need a flashback to remind me exactly why I was shocked. So it's just like, you know, middle school writing at this point. So that's a no for me. And what else is the whole Caitlin plot with Frost and Mark? And I think this is the same, has the same issue as with Iris and Time Sickness, is that we're getting like 10, 20 seconds of it every episode, and it's not doing anything to actually forward the story. And so we're kind of like stuck in this, oh, we're going to do this, oh, we're going to do that, but nothing actually ever happens. And so, like, if we're building towards something with this whole Frost thing, we only have 2 episodes left. Like, when is anything going to happen? And Iris is coming back next week, but, like, we missed 4 episodes of opportunity to actually move that storyline forward. And it's just, like, stuck in the same loop over and over again with storylines that stop and start, and then, like, Barry's getting a story now, but, again, it's with Reverse Flash, which kind of feels redundant again, you know? So, I don't know. It's just kind of, like, not really interesting, even objectively speaking.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, you know? Like what you're saying about how you're right about Caitlin supposed to have this big storyline about Frost or potentially bringing her back, and you only get little snippets of it at the end as afterthoughts. It is the same way that they were doing setting up Iris's Time Sickness, and it's because they don't actually care about either of those characters, because I don't think they plan on bringing either of those characters back. So, you know, if you like either one of them, or, you know, whatever. I really feel like
we're all going to lose is basically what is
going. Yes. Yeah.
Right. No, and that's the thing. We're all going to lose because the writing at this point, like, who is a fan of Chester, Allegra, Cecile? Those people don't exist because those characters have not been built in a way for anyone to genuinely root for them.
Right.
Right.
And the whole thing about, like, the flashbacks, it's not even like what you're talking about, like, with flashbacks and stuff that we, like, when moments we've already seen, it's flashbacks of scenes that we just saw in the same episode. And you're right that it was like 50% flashbacks, really. And there's like so many different flashbacks. It just feels like a space saver because the writer's like, I don't actually have a lot to write. So I'm just gonna like pad this with flashbacks. And I really feel like that was just like a lazy way to do it. And also, if they were less concerned about making these super specific bottle episodes and more concerned of having a cohesive, like, season storyline, you could have introduced Mina in the background in, you know, after credit scenes for episodes at a time. Introduce Eobard Thawne. That would have been a surprise for episodes. Like, Matt's Eobard, to see, like, how are they into the story. You could have seen their love story building up so that when we get to this episode, you can have flashbacks of things that happened episodes ago and not things that happened 5 minutes ago, which I felt like really was contributing to the feeling of this is a really rushed love story that they're trying to build up as a comparison to Barry and Iris. And then the fact that they are trying to do this, but they are trying to do this without Iris in it and without the actual comparison, because they were paralleling Diggle talking to Kavanaugh on. And the fact that he was willing to give up. Oh, and that's another thing. Diggle is over here saying, like, I'm going to give up infinite power, infinite universes, or whatever, for love of my family and being a father. And then you have Eobard, like, I don't care about being a Spicer. I just care about the love of my life, of putting her before me. And then you got Barry. And that is just, like, the most, like, depressing, pathetic thing, that in this episode where you have all of these really huge romantic swells in storylines, and then the most romantic ship in the show your elite show, that doesn't factor into the storyline at all. That doesn't really make any sense. And, you know, even when he is alluding to the parallel that they're trying to make between Eobard and Mina and him and Iris and not even mentioning her, that not even setting off a what is happening. Like, if they allow Barry to use his critical thinking skills a lot earlier in the season when something was originally off of Dion to kind of think about, like, what exactly could be happening.
Thank you. Yes, that would make so much sense.
That would make so much sense, but they don't do that. And they avoid having him say her name or have some kind of thing running in the background because they are trying to keep all of that for this reveal at the end of the episode that Dion goes to talk to Eobard about, I'm going to reinstate your destiny as a Reverse Flash. And obviously, to me, it's because he's the Negative Steel Force counterpart. Like, our Dion is still somewhere in there. But and because that's one of the things that I thought was really confusing, that he got time sickness and disappeared and then just randomly comes back. Like, where's your time sickness? Where did it go? And I don't think he came back. I think Negative Speed Force Dion came back. But of course, we can't know that. And because we can't know that, we can't know anything that Iris is doing. But then because there's no concern about Iris on the other end, it just leaves this vacuum of stuff. So yeah, that I had this whole like rant diatribe. It's so hard to go to sleep because my mind was just like racing. And I'm just so very pessimistic. Even if Candace does sign on for episodes, I don't think I'll be back next season, to be honest. Just the way that they're writing. Me as a watcher, as a viewer.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be back.
No.
But
yeah.
Yeah. So
what's there to be back for? Like, there's nothing exciting exactly about this show anymore, like, at all.
It's so sad. We used to be so, like, right, like, the show used to be so fun for us. And, like, yeah, obviously, we started this podcast because we liked the show so much.
Yeah, yeah. And even, like, I was, you know, sometimes I watch with my own sister, and she's like, this is so sad to see you so sad about this show. And it's just, it is really depressing. And even, like, going back to see a few of the older episodes, I'm like, damn, there was just so much life.
Exactly.
Even if something didn't make any sense, it had life. Yeah. You know?
And this, it has no heart. There's no heart left right in the show.
And I feel like it seeps into everything. Like, it's not just, like, it's obviously the writing. It stems from the writing and the structure of the storylines. But, like, even the actors feel like they're like, why am I here?
Yeah, it really does. And I forgot to mention this because I don't really care about the whole sort of Green Lantern storyline for Diggle. But I feel like, after 2 years, it was a waste of all of our time because he took up screen time that, like, why are you here?
He took up so much screen time in this episode. I mean, I wasn't even expecting him to be in it. I'm like, why is this, like, a whole B-plot storyline?
Yeah, and I feel like if you want Diggle to still be around in the Arrowverse and hop to different shows and help, he can still do that. He's Diggle. He can do whatever
he
wants.
That would be better than
yes, what they've been doing. You don't have to, like, I'm going to go to Gotham because I have a question about this box. Like, no one cares. And, like, we didn't even get paid.
Just go to Gotham.
Like, why? Yeah. Right. Yeah, just go to Gotham. So, whatever. Anyway.
I did think it was, like, just, like, for anyone that was interested in the storyline, for it to culminate, and he's like, no, I don't want it. Like, we wasted how many minutes of this episode specifically on this storyline, and you just don't want it.
Yeah, I was already staring at this thing. I was like, is that
the answer of what it is? Like, there, if you're in fandom and you read the comics and you hear keywords about, oh, this is this, there's no explanation for the general public. There's no build up that it's going to be a story. It's just something that happened, and Diggle's like, no. So it's like, well, that's the end of that.
And I was literally watching that scene. I was like, oh my God, Diggle, if I was Lila, I would divorce you again because this is just so frustrating.
Yeah. I would divorce you again.
What does Sonia have to say?
Sonia has thoughts. She says, hey, ladies, I know I already said this last week, but it deserves repeating. I'm loving having Mina on the show because it's just so great having more brown girls in prominent roles. Am I the only one who thought it was a bit villainous of Cecile for still putting fear in that one bank robber, even though he was already scared and begging her not to do it? Like, girl, calm down. When Mina was acting like she didn't know Barry and whatnot, I was super confused since literally every single person on the show and their mother knows Barry's secret identity, and it's actually nice for a change that someone doesn't know it, doesn't know, as it feels more like a superhero show with real stakes around the hero's identity. But then, you know, Sonya, he went and, like, revealed, sort of revealed himself-ish. oh my god, Eobard Thawne, played by Matt Letcher, yay. Also interesting to see two different versions of Eobard played by both Matt and Tom in this episode. Love that Mina took a call from Avery, a.k.a. the girl who bought Nick's flirting with.
Yes. Avery, huh?
Yay to seeing Dig and the scene where Dig was like, last time I saw you, you were still faking using a wheelchair. And Thawne was like, last time I saw you, Albert Queen was still alive.
That was a low blow. That was a good one.
I love that. That was classic Eobard penis.
It's nice that Dig has this great scene of realizing his own destiny and whatnot, but all these references across so many shows about the Green Lantern ring, and that's how the storyline ends, with him just yeeting the ring out of existence. What a waste. I knew Mina had a heart condition since they focus on the Metropole in the flashback, and that's a beta blocker used by people with heart conditions. Interesting. Also, Mina went into cardiac arrest, and Eobard gave up his dream of being a speedster to save her, since the machine can only work on one person, and he helped her bring her back with his love. I'm totally shipping them. Also, yet another couple who gets kissed before Barry and Iris, and they got to kiss twice in the same episode, so if I don't see Barry and Iris kiss the minute she gets out of the Steel Force, I will be so mad. She will be unconscious, right? Sonya.
Well, you can sleep in beauty.
Speaking of Barry and Iris, I'm glad Barry brought up his lightning rod. So glad to have a West Allen reference again. So sad.
The bar is on the ground.
Exactly. I was like, look, this is a full-fledged West Allen episode now. Because he said lightning rod, done. That's all we get.
We get to see Rhea again. And also a reference to Legends, which I don't watch. What exactly were they referencing with that? And what is its importance to the Flash?
Listen to the podcast. Skip to the Legends section, Sonya.
Basically, he was saved by Time Wraith, but had to get stuck, like, protecting a certain time period in history, and then ended up dying so that Sarah and the Legends could save history.
And I guess the Time Wraith was like, you did good. Let me unkill you.
Popped him back to the Flash. And that is the short version. Cecile's legit crazy. Like, what the F is she doing? Because while I get that she's saving people, it seems like she is enjoying it too much and taking it way too far. Here I thought Barry destroying Caitlin's lab would be the end of this resurrecting Frost storyline, but no, now Mark is involved again, and he seems to have found another way to do it. This will not end well. I will say that I'm confused about that, because I didn't think he was a scientist, so...
He's some kind of engineer.
Okay. Yeah, because he had that... He was like, I do math.
The little tech thingies.
I see. Yeah. That ending with Dion helping Thawne escape, what the hell happened to Dion to make him so evil? Also, I know I said last week that whoever does the Flash promos is smart because they made the Allegra heavy and Barry light episode look more Barry heavy, but here we have the first episode where Iris is finally back and she's in like a one-second scene and is unconscious the entire time. Anyways, I'm so excited for the next episode because I finally get to see Candace on screen again and to see how they bring Iris back. And that's that on feedback.
Thank you.
Do we have Lady with Gumption? Is it us? We're still watching?
We have Lady with Gumption.
I would want to say Mina.
Yeah. I mean,
Mina. It's supposed to like Allegra for the first episode. Yeah.
Allegra for the first episode, Mina for the second. Yeah.
But who went overall?
Mina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm salty. Mina.
Congratulations, Mina.
Winning by default.
You're the fastest woman alive. You're also Lady with Gumption of the Week. Thank you for sticking through with us and suffering, or, you know, waiting to hear how we suffered.
How we suffered.
I feel like anyone who really likes the show still, first off, who are you? And second off, would be like, what is happening? What are they talking about? Why are they?
I think, you know, like, a show is bad when, like, everyone who used to be online for it is just, like, and gone.
You can tell the fandom, like, every troll, fanboy, cesspool monster has finally, like, they're, like, peeking out under the rocks. Like, oh, my God, I think it's safe to come back. It's so much more toxic. I think just, you know, I didn't even tag, you know, the WB tweet about, you know, Barry can always save the day. And I'm like, well, I know someone that I beg to differ.
And
And you still have people coming on. It's like, no, that bitch can stay in there. I'm like, we're not doing that.
Wow.
Under our tweets.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So, yeah, there's a lot more of that. And it's just, like, not a good, doesn't feel like a good place to be online in fandom.
Yeah.
And that speaks to, I think, the culture that is being created.
Mm-hmm.
So, anywho, 2 episodes left, guys. Season 8. Come celebrate with us, you know, the following week. that we are one step closer to freedom.
Freedom!
You know, tweet along with us at DCTV Gumption. Send us your feedback, ladieswgumption@gmail.com. And we are occasionally answering asks. We'll get better at doing that. But if you want to send us an ask, you can send it to ladieswgumption@tumblr.com. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.